Democrat of the day. Let's go to 51B. Lori Halverson is kind enough to join us. She was a Democrat of the day before. She's kind enough to join us this time around to talk about her campaign as well as also just the election in general. Lori, thank you very much, Representative. I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much for having me, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much. It's nice to hear from you down in Eagan. How are things down in 51B?
Things are great in Eagan. We have a wonderful community down here, and I have to tell you, the voters are fired up. People really pay attention. That's one of the great things about Minnesota. We're heavily engaged, and people really are listening to and ready for a progressive agenda for the state of Minnesota. I'm really excited about the election.
Did you see Steve Simons, in a political sense, just as Secretary of State, he put out the numbers of early voting, three times as many as the last midterm election, almost three times as many, and even more than the presidential election this time around.
Yeah, there's no doubt that people are enthused and energized, and they're doing everything they can to make sure that they're vote is counted and their vote is being heard. And so I'm loving talking to the folks who said, I voted and now I'm out here volunteering. So people who are out there going door to door with candidates or doing phone banking for candidates, the energy is unbelievable. We almost can't believe the number of volunteers that are showing up week after week in the rain, in the cold. You know, Minnesotans are hardy, so.
Well, and today, and you can't beat it today. Hopefully, you got some door knocking now, because it is phenomenal. This is the kind of day you dream of if you're a politician for door knocking. It's just gorgeous out there right now.
I was waiting for this when I was door knocking when it was heat indices of 100. So, yes, this is great.
I want to talk with you, obviously. Let's break down a little bit. I mean, as you've been in the House since 2012. You got elected first in 2012. You came in 2013. But I want to talk to you just about this last session, because I've talked to a few of the Democrats who are running for re-election, and they basically all say the same thing. It's just, we have a failed leadership experiment here, that when even you have things that the majority of Republicans and Democrats agree with together, and the governor is promising to sign, to have a House leadership that basically will prevent those bills from getting a single standalone vote and putting them part of the omnibus prime bill, which was just an obnoxious bit of politics. There was a lot of people that are rerunning for office that were pretty dang sick of what happened last session.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And it's not so much for me. I mean, I was pretty disgusted that they threw a, you know, almost 1,000-page bill on my desk.
Yeah. Just,
you know, minutes before we were supposed to vote on it, which to me is complete irresponsibility. We have to be able to know what we're voting on and be able to review public policy. A lot of what was in that bill hadn't even been reviewed in committee. So it was things that were brand new to everybody. And so it's a disservice, yes, to their fellow legislators, but it's a huge disservice to the public. The public should be able to follow along with bills that they care about, follow along with issues that they care about, and watch those issues get debated and voted on, up or down. Don't be afraid to vote. But there was a lot of things that they didn't want to deal with, and things that had bipartisan support. You know, ending elder abuse in Minnesota. We had a lot of bipartisan work that went into that. We were not able to put our bipartisan bill on the table. Hands-free cell phone use.
Yeah.
We had enough votes to pass it. They refused to allow it to come up for a vote. So there were major issues that the public was begging for us to take action on, and we were just stymied. And to play politics with what the people of Minnesota want is absolutely wrong. So,
well,
it's time for a new leadership at the top, for sure.
And like you said, I mean, the game plan by Kurt Dowd and Joyce Pepin and the rest of the Republican leadership was to take these popular bills and hold them hostage. That is not effective leadership. That is not it's not the job. In the Constitution of the state, it says you can't really do that. And you brought up like elder abuse and the hands-free cell phone. I mean, it just, there's a point that you want to just look at these clowns, and that's my word, not your word, but I want to look at these guys and just say, you know, you could have gotten some of this stuff passed, had something to campaign on, but because you guys just wanted to play politics with everything this last session, even good bills that were universally supported, maybe one or two people boycotting, but that's it. even they could not get past, and that's on them. And if there's a sign that we need new leadership in St. Paul, it's that.
Absolutely. And the people deserve us, you know, deserve to see us thoughtfully considering bills, debating on bills, voting on bills. One of my biggest frustrations was the number of times they would pull bills because of DFL amendments. They would rather not have the have a vote on a bill rather than discuss changes that DFL members wanted to make to bills. And that, to me, is completely irresponsible. The public deserves us, you know, to hear us debating important issues like, you know, gun violence protection, like making sure that we protect women's right to choose. All of those things, all of those discussions and debates were completely stymied, and we need to make sure government is open and accessible to the people.
Was there anything that I know you worked really hard on a lot of bills that ended up getting, you know, torpedoed by the Republican leadership, but was there anything that you worked on that you were really proud of that did get done this last session?
Yes. I actually was the chief author of the comprehensive consumer and agency bill to end elder abuse. So I worked with the AARP, with the Department of Human Services, with family stakeholders to put together a package that was going to put more accountability into the system and help family members navigate the elder care system. You know, happy birthday to you. None of us are getting any younger, right?
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we're going to be caring for the most vulnerable people in society, caring for the people that raised us, and making sure that they have dignity in their life, and to not even allow that bill to have a hearing so that we could debate and discuss what consumers were asking for was incredibly frustrating to me. So when we get back in session next year, if I have the good fortune of being in office again and the good fortune of being in a majority, you can bet that we are going to be taking up issues around elder abuse, opioids, healthcare costs, all the things that Minnesotans are clamoring for that they saw no action on last session.
Lori, Representative, you want a platform. You, when that comes back up, because I have zero doubt, I think you're going back, and I'm pretty sure you're going to have a majority. I'm really praying for that. We'll talk about that a little bit more here. But when that comes up, when that bill comes up, you come back on this show, and I'm going to do whatever I can to help you, because absolutely, you're doing, that is fantastic work you're doing. That's exactly what representatives should be doing. Good pieces of legislation that do have universal appeal, that are statewide issues that definitely everyone can get behind. And I commend you. I commend the AARP. I'll need their phone number now that I'm 50. I'll have to call them myself. But
they know how to find you.
They'll
be calling me in a few months. So I'm with.
But you know, when you get back, you got that bill coming up, you let me know and I'll help you champion it any way I can, okay?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Let's talk about the upcoming election. I specifically wanted to have someone on this Friday, as we are down to crunch time. It's 2.5 weeks left. We have 3 weekends, and that's it. And then it's election day. We, of course, in Minnesota, have got the early voting, which has been a godsend, and we've had a ton of people there. But I want to talk with you, as you experience this, if you've gone through this election cycle, talk about the importance of the next few weeks and how vital it is that, I know people are tired and all that, but, you know, this is it. This is time to fish or cut bait, and because everything hinges on the next few weeks, correct?
Absolutely. And any campaigner worth their salt knows that we sleep after November 6th. Until then, it's all hands on deck. And it's fantastic work right now. So as a candidate, I was out all spring and summer, pounding on doors, sometimes with volunteers, sometimes on my own, talking to voters, finding out what's important to people in my district, and identifying who is going to be voting for our progressive candidates up and down the ticket. And these last 2 weeks are the 2 weeks that are the most crucial for Democrats, because we have to make sure that Democrats are getting out and getting to the polls. And so this is get out the vote time. It's one of the funnest times that you'll ever experience in a campaign, because people are excited. This particular election, the positivity I've heard and felt among the voters, the excitement among new voters is really inspiring. So in spite of the fatigue that going door to door might bring us, or doing that last minute fundraising, making those phone calls, yes, it's tiring work, but I will tell you, it's so inspiring that It just keeps you going. So anybody who hasn't campaigned before and who is feeling really passionate about this election, this is the time to get involved with your local unit of the DFL.
And you talk about the door knocking. It's been amazing. I think that the difference between past elections and this election cycle that I have experienced just talking to all the different Democrats statewide and all the different races, it's the door knocking. And the Democrats, the DFL has taken, refocused themselves on getting out there in so many communities, especially in these rural communities that have generally gone Republican. The stories of, oh, this is the first Democrat that's shown up in the door in 20 years, that sort of thing. It is vitally important because the mailer is going to come on out, the TV ads, the radio ads, that's going to be there. Having that one-on-one interaction, knocking on someone's door, if you can hit as many doors as possible in the last few weeks, that is incredibly important, correct?
That is so true. It's those one-on-one conversations that make such a difference. All of those ads that we're being inundated with in our swing districts really wear the electorate out. For people who don't pay attention every day, if this is their connection to their government and politics, it really tends to be a barrier for them to get involved. And if we are out there door-to-door with our message about what we want for the state of Minnesota, and if we're out there listening to what voters want for the state of Minnesota, we are going to be much more successful. And we're going to be able to cut through all of the confusion and clutter that is out there, and we are going to be able to make sure that Minnesota values are put back in the forefront.
Obviously, your campaign is still going on, and we have learned you don't take things for granted. You don't do that. You are campaigning hard. I imagine you got some door knocking scheduled up the next few weekends, correct?
Absolutely. Every day in the next 2 weeks, we will be joining with the Coordinated Campaign Office out of Burnsville for our district. It's different in every community, so you can contact your local DFL and find out where to show up. But we'll be showing up four shifts a day, every day, until 8 o'clock on November 6th. And then we waits for the good news that the Minnesota voters are going to give us, we hope. And I just knocked on wood.
There you go as well. I'm with you on that. Representative Lori Halverson, once again, if you are in a relatively safe Democratic district, that's great. Help your local DFL, or by all means, you definitely need to do that. But if you get some time, you want to go over just to Eagan, beautiful Eagan, stop on by. It's 51B. The district is basically east of 35E, correct?
That is correct, yep. And it is beautiful. We're home to some gorgeous parks, and the leaves are still in full splendor right now. So come and pay us a visit in Eagan.
Beautiful. You can stop on by. Give her a hand. The website for your campaign, I believe, is Halverson4andhouse.com, right?
That is correct. Yep.
All right. Halverson4house.com. I will link to everything, including this interview, a little bit later on. Representative Lori Halverson running for another term in the Minnesota House. I hope we send you back. I hope you have the majority, and I hope we can get that bill passed, because my God, it's about time we had effective leadership in St. Paul. So all my best as we head for the election.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
My
pleasure.
And
happy election, everybody.
Indeed. Lori Halverson, representative from 51B, kind enough to be Democrat of the day today. We'll take a break. Come on back.